Before we start, we want to let you know we've launched a Patreon page where supporters can receive perks like bonus episodes and exclusive content.
Because Pop Fiction Women is our passion project, a place where we give women space to show up and offer in-depth analysis in the ways we're used to hearing about male creators and their characters.
We delve into creativity and psychology with a dash of astrology, and we have so much fun doing it. Just two friends breaking down books, movies, and shows like Normal People, Fleabag, and I May Destroy You.
Every single aspect of this podcast we do ourselves, from the preparation to the recording, from the editing to the social media promotion. So we're adding a Patreon platform because we want to keep making the show you love and hopefully expand it even further.
So please consider becoming one of our most complicated fans and contributing on Patreon.
To learn more, go to patreon.com/popfictionwomen. This is Pop Fiction Women. I'm Corinne.
I'm Kate, and we're complicated.
Blunt.
Total boss.
But sometimes a mess.
Opinionated.
But never boring.
And in this podcast, we're discussing the complicated women of the best books, TV, and movies.
Along with the complicated women behind the scenes. Warning, lots of spoilers ahead.
So come back when you're done.
Hurry up, it's starting. I May Destroy You, episodes 8, 9, and 10. It's kind of getting dragged out a little for me. I really want the end of this to come. I want to know what happens. I want to know what's going on.
What's going to happen to her, with her. Right? I know.
Yes. All right. So episode 8, we come back and we see that some significant time has passed, right? Mm-hmm. We get clues before they actually tell us, because they will actually tell us. The clues are the support group mm-hmm. has grown. There's a lot of people in there now. Clearly, they're not all new. Arabella is spouting some brilliant shit
yeah.
about line and the, you know, towing the line and where you are and sitting on the line. And that kind of brought me in. But I was like, where is this going?
Yeah.
And then we also see her personality's really back. She's talking about social media a ton.
Yeah, she really speaks with like authority at that. And,
yes,
and that's when
again.
I thought, like, that's her powerful voice that people are so yes. drawn to online and everything. And now in the support group. And I was like, look at her. Like, yeah.
Yes. And even with Terry. So I was like, okay, yeah. this is not only... She doesn't only just have it back in her persona, because mm-hmm. she had it a little bit with the Zane situation
yeah.
and on social media. But I was like, okay, she's got it with her friend. She's got it. Oh, and her and Terry and Kwame are talking. And I feel like, okay, she's back to herself. And then she gets a call from detectives mm-hmm. To come in and talk about the case. When we get there, again, we get more clues. Both of the detectives are now
yeah.
very pregnant.
Exactly.
One more so than the other. And we learn that she spells it out for us, which was nice.
Mm-hmm.
I like the clues first
yes.
and then the confirmation. It's been 9 months mm-hmm. since the incident.
Right.
And she goes through, the lead detective goes through and says, you know, we found the sample, we did all this work, and by the way, there's no match, nothing to do. This is no longer an active
yeah.
investigation.
Yep.
Now, clearly this would be a blow no matter what, but we can see Arabella's taking it really hard. And she's sitting in the lobby, she can't leave, she doesn't really know what to do next, and she decides, she gets this brilliant idea, she wants to go to Italy.
Right.
And Terry is not having it.
No.
She's like, he's a hypocrite. He sold you drugs while telling you to stop doing drugs. He's a hypocrite and controlling. And then, of course, we're looking at her like,
this. Yeah, but
Terry.
Yeah. And so you have to surround yourself with people that affirm you. And I love
yeah.
it. Arabella's like, and is that you? You know,
yeah.
like. Looks
right.
at her, and I was like, ooh, touche. Yeah.
Yes. Except Arabella at that time doesn't know.
No, she
All
doesn't.
She's being super manipulative.
Yes.
So it's like, so if you don't affirm me and my need to go to Italy,
right.
then
but we know,
I can't be around
which is why
you.
I love it. It's
yes.
like a,
yes.
yeah, exactly. I mean,
yes.
my assumption was that, you know, this was the why she wanted to go there, was it was the last place she was happy. It was the last place before
Huh.
she came back and got spiked and her world changed. And I know there's also the Biagio, but to me it was, you know, maybe that I was just trying to think like, why then? I mean, because Biagio hadn't exactly been nice to her.
It didn't have a
good reaction to it. So that was that. That was the only thing.
And they weren't in a serious relationship. No. And then like it didn't work out.
But it was like the last day before her assault was sort of.
Yes.
At that writer's retreat in Italy. So I don't know. But clearly.
No, that makes sense. Yeah. That really makes sense. That makes sense. I hadn't thought of that, and I was just kind of like, this is seems to be out of nowhere that she would want to go back, but she does. And what I was like, I don't know if that's a great choice, but maybe, maybe she could rekindle. Maybe now, like, she has some closure and she can go back to something before.
Right.
But as soon as we get there, I'm like, oh God.
Bad idea.
And just like bad choices.
Correct.
I mean, I was so uncomfortable with her following that old woman into the building. It's so funny because now if that someone had done that on, you know, like any other show, but this show has me so tuned into like what's right and what's wrong and who, and also I'm constantly saying, who are you violating?
Yes.
Who are you violating?
Exactly.
And I'm like, you are violating this old woman.
Right.
You're following her in.
Yes.
You're trespassing and you're violating all of the people that live there.
And then you go into Biagio's apartment uninvited, unannounced, violation. Just sitting there.
Oh, that was like.
Kitchen table.
That was so. The old woman was enough. But if he had answered the door and. I, you know, I was like, oh, I was already on alert. But when she uses his spare key and breaks in, I was like, Arabella, I am not supportive of any of this.
No.
This is terrible. What are you doing?
Yeah, I know.
And then Biagio comes in and kind of has a similar reaction. Like, what the fuck are you doing here?
Yes, exactly.
But then I'm watching and I'm a little confused now, you know, later on watching it, he's playing it perfectly. He's like, what the fuck are you doing here? Horrified. And then he realizes, like, she's not going to be logical. She's not going to be someone he can have a conversation with. He's like, oh, give me a hug.
Uh-huh.
Like, let me let you think this is okay. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as you go out to get the pizza.
Exactly.
I'm gonna lock you out.
I'll lock you out. Because, I think he sees immediately. I mean, she's got, like, said she got his favorite pizza. She says she turns up with songs and sorries, and I really need to see you.
Yes.
And you're right. I think he plays it well.
Yes. And or plays it with the least amount of conflict.
Exactly.
Right? Because he doesn't. Some conflict you just don't want to be a part of.
Yeah.
He is like, he doesn't. There's no benefit for him to have a discussion with her.
Now, when she says, you probably hate me now, and he says, I could never hate you. Do you think that was him trying to avoid conflict, or do you think he genuinely means that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think at best, it was probably like, I don't hate you because. I don't feel anything.
Or I'm just like,
get out of my apartment.
Yeah. It could be that too. Exactly. Because hate requires a level of emotion and feeling for someone that he probably doesn't even have anymore.
Exactly. Yes. If he ever did. I think he was starting to like her in the beginning, but then it's been 9 months.
Yeah. That's insane, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go.
But then... After all of this, and I'm on Team Biagio because she's acting so not right and violating him left and right, then she goes off and is like, you're a bitch. You're a piece of shit. You're a motherfucker.
Yeah.
She goes nuts.
She goes crazy.
I'm like, Arabelle, what are you doing? What are you doing?
That was insane.
Oh, my God. I didn't understand it at all. I was like, wow.
What?
This is all sorts of bad shit.
So she's locked out. She realizes her passport's in there. And so he just slips it under the door, which for her, I think, was just like, that's what set her off. Like the fact that he wouldn't even open the door and hand her that or respond to her. But are you really that kind of bitch? Which was her first thing. Yeah. And then she called him a fucking cunt. F you, you piece of shit. You're a bitch. She's smashing the door.
Yeah. smashing the door.
Smashing. So I guess when he opens it with a gun, you're saying that's an appropriate response, given the circumstances. And since he has one anyway,
wait,
apparently.
Is this up for debate? This is a stranger, essentially a stranger that maybe you hooked up with a couple times, twice, two or three times. I don't even know. Was it once? Was it one? I don't even know.
Hooked up with
a couple times 9 months ago, takes your spare key and is sitting and waiting for you in your apartment when you come home.
And in the meantime, by the way, also in the meantime, the last time they spoke, he was pissed at her because he had to go submit his DNA to the police to aid in an investigation for her when he's a drug dealer. So whatever time has lapsed, like think about the one thing that has happened in between was that, which he's just like, you're a fucking headache to me already, lady.
Yes.
Right? I mean, you're a pain in my ass now. Look at you. And you possibly subjected me. And I understand it's my own behavior, too, that puts me in that place. But like,
yes, you're
now inserting me into a situation I didn't want to be in. And now,
her breaking into his apartment and sitting there when he came home to me is just like, you can't come back from that. That's not just, it's just so
wrong,
so unequivocally not okay.
Right.
Like I would be like fearing for my life. And she is literally pounding the door. We see from the other side, right? They cut to the other side and she's moving the door. Nope, not okay. Not okay. And then the rest of episode 8 is Kwame also making really bad choices, right? He decides he's going to start dating a woman because that feels more safe to him than men.
Yep.
Which, okay, but then this woman is all sorts of wrong too, saying, I love
black men.
I love black guys. Yes.
Yeah, like, I'm really into black guys.
Or
guys with an edge. You're like, okay.
Yeah. It was, it was all sorts of wrong. But then they have sex when he's definitely not into it, but I don't know. I don't know who is doing anything okay, but I feel like the clear violation again is that he doesn't even remotely tell her that he's on a sexuality spectrum, whether he is or not, which, by the way, obviously Arabella and Terry think is a bullshit excuse anyway. Right. They don't think he's on any sort of spectrum.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
He is 100% confirmed, always will be for men.
Right.
That's it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So she obviously feels violated. And he's like, well, excuse me, she was racist and homophobic. Not okay.
Right.
Not okay to be racist and homophobic.
No, it's not.
But also, you also can't have sex with that person.
And then tell them afterwards that you're gay, which Arabella calls him out for later. But it's false pretenses. Again, you go.
Yeah. So he's a dick.
His confusion and how he's decided he thinks he should deal with it is not fucking fair to her. Yeah. I mean, it's like he's like, I think I need a woman. Okay. Well.
But by the way, that could be fair to her if you say
it to her.
Look, you know, they had a whole dinner together.
Yeah.
He could have just been like, he could have been like, look, I really like you. I'm attracted to you in some ways, but I mostly have been with men, and so this is a whole new thing for me. He doesn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's just, you know, that's just all sorts of wrong.
Yeah, all sorts of. Yeah, that whole.
Yes.
So both of these were just.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then episode 9, we see the
that, I do like the end of 8 when she walks into the water. I don't know. You're like, oh. I literally just thought, like, is this like a baptism? Like some sort of rebirth? Like why is she, that when she walked in there, I just wrote like baptism. Like is this, Oh. Did this not, that you didn't think of that? Like, will, and
I, point, will I she did. Emerge I thought
in another way? Is this, again, now I know what's happened after it, and I don't, I think if I want, at the time I wrote it, I didn't know what the next episode was. So I was hoping, yes, for some sort of transformation or rebirth after, you know, coming out of the water, the baptism. Now, has that happened? I guess there's more.
No.
No, she's more, no.
In episode not nine, she's horrible. Not,
exactly,
she's horrible.
That's what I was just gonna say. So, but I didn't know
that.
You can't
grow into your baptism.
Yes.
Yeah, but you can't grow into your baptism. But in any event, no, I didn't feel that way. I thought, I mean, I don't. I obviously didn't want her to kill herself, but I was more. I think you were two steps ahead. I was like, this Arabella needs to die. Right now.
Okay.
Like, but drown yourself and die.
Okay, but that's similar.
I
drown
hope
yourself
she
and die before you can be reborn. But either way,
it's not similar.
That
it's,
didn't happen it's, though.
No, it did. Well, it did in I don't think she would do that for herself. Well, frankly, she's just not doing anything for herself in episode nine.
Right.
But in any event, even death or rebirth, it just seemed too close.
Right.
It seemed too soon to have that be symbolically anything that was going to matter. She hadn't had time to process it. She had literally done it, broke into another place, violation, violation, violation.
Right.
And then just slept there. So it wasn't like any meaningful amount of time had gone by. So, yeah, no.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay.
So... episode nine, she is really hiding behind her activism. She's thrown herself. And this is why I can say that maybe a part of her did die in that moment, in that end of episode eight, because the only thing that emerges in episode nine is persona Arabella, not real person Arabella, the one who might go to Italy and might had ever hooked up with Biagio and might want to make anything right. The only thing that we see in episode nine is persona Arabella, right?
Right.
And she is really hiding behind her activism. She is just talking into her phone at every moment.
It's crazy.
Literally in the doctor's office showing her CAT scan. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I mean, it just seems so over the top
Yeah.
And Kwame and I liked Kwame and Terry making fun of her as another person came out. Now, there is the real benefit of, like, this guy comes out and says, you know, I was molested when I was younger and you've really helped me. And that's true and truly valuable. But Kwame and Terry have a different perspective. And he's like, you know, he's kind of ragging on her and mocking her,
he's
and
mocking
like,
her.
Make sure you follow me so I can get even more powerful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Arabella, let's go. This echo chamber's freezing.
Yes. I love that line. Exactly. But he's right. Yes. She's all persona. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. And using it almost in a, like, follow me. Again, we keep seeing, like, followers. She's getting more followers and she's getting more powerful on social media. But she's got almost no agency in real life.
Yes.
And so, you know, that's obvious. Doesn't seem worth it to anyone.
No,
but
exactly.
Yeah. So, but Kwame gets his own kind of reckoning when they're at the Halloween paint and wine, right?
Yeah, I love her costume, by the way. I don't know why. Maybe I
love
just the
costume.
So good.
I loved hers. I didn't so much like the other two.
No, and
hers
I didn't like.
Was great.
Hers was awesome.
The horns and the wings that opened.
It was
I loved
perfect.
It. Yeah. But this is the place where she seems to have gone off the deep end, or maybe it's just a scene of what they've been experiencing for a while. But she's just like spouting shit that just sounds like, who are you even talking to? Do you know you're talking to one of your best friends?
Exactly.
Like, what are you saying? And now she's got a lot of truth in what she's saying, right? She's like, mistakes are just like, you know, like when you make a silly mistake, this is deceitful, destructive, inconsiderate.
Right.
And you're blaming this girl that he slept with. And this is, you know, she's twisting everything to like the extreme bad. And we know, we've already said in episode 8 what he did was not okay.
Right, right.
But like, this is not a conversation between friends. This is like,
she's
someone
attacking. Like, she, I feel like, yes, on social media, yeah, she's doing it, and she's being a bully. And then here, whether you're, yeah, like you said, this isn't a dialogue. He is one of her good friends. This is a topic she could have a real discussion with him about. Like, instead, it's, you had penetrative sex with someone under false pretenses. Like, you didn't care that she was racially stereotyping you because you fucked her. And she's just like, don't paint yourself as a victim. And then I find out that's not the case. I mean, it was, she went at him.
Yeah.
I mean, really. Yes. Yeah.
And yes. It, yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There was no dialogue. There was no room for let me reckon with. I mean, these are things, people are going to do things that are not okay. And what we need is people to reckon with them and say, like, I get that she was responding to the fact that he was being too flippant about it. He was like, no, I don't feel good about it. Well, of course you don't fucking feel good about it, but are you willing to take responsibility for yourself? Are you feeling guilty? Are you feeling any shame? Like, put it out there and then you can get past it, but don't act like it's not. He's like, he acted like it was justified. Like, she's a racist. Yeah, who cares? Exactly. And a homophobe.
Right, right. Yeah,
so like.
But then Terry
nobody, frankly.
Right. But then Terry,
nobody was reckoning.
No, nobody was. But I like that Terry does call Bella out then. Like, you locked
Except
Kwame in
she's
the room.
Not reckoning
she's
either.
She's not either. But at least in that moment when she was attacking Kwame, Terry steps in and is like, hey, like, hold up. Like, you know, it wasn't cool either when you locked him in a room with that guy at the party. Which does really strike Arabella. Like, she does sort of stop and is like, wait, what? Like, it hadn't occurred to her. It seems.
It's true, but what does she do? Nothing. She's like, well, she gets, Kwame's here. Exactly. No, she says, Kwame's here, so you can shut up.
Yeah.
I mean, excuse me? Yeah. Like, my friends don't speak to me like that.
Right,
right. Like, I mean, that's not okay.
Right. That was, again, aggressive, attacking.
Yes, yes. And just, like, not human, right? Like, if it was your friend, you'd be like, listen, I want to hear from him. You know, like, she was talking like to some, like a troll on Instagram. She was not talking to her human flesh and blood friend standing in front of her. That was what was kind of crazy about watching the whole thing.
Exactly. It was. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So then she goes on and she like, I mean, again, just all these tiny, in every moment we're seeing her hypocrisy. She walks over to a woman and sticks her vape thing into her charger. And it's like, oh, just let me use this for a second. Can I hold that? And it's like, whoa, violating that woman. And then a man comes up to her and is like, oh, I like your horns. And she's like, huh, funny. You think it's amazing that you think your opinion should just be heard. Well, meanwhile, she's doing that. She, I mean, it was just brilliant writing in that every tiny thing was an example of her hypocrisy.
Exactly.
And also all of it is a lesson in how her hypocrisy is firmly rooted in being right.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
She
has to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she understands, like, it's a true point of view that you can't just go around violating people. And it's a true point of view. Everything that happened to her was real and true. And yet she's taking it to this place where she can't even see when she's violating all these people back.
Exactly.
It was a lot.
It was a lot.
So and clearly we felt it as the viewers, and Arabella was feeling it. And so the next step just makes a lot of sense. She has an emergency call with her therapist.
And then she goes to her house.
Yes.
Or apartment or whatever. She goes to talk to her.
Yes. And she's listening, but she's definitely thinking, like, I don't know. This doesn't all sound good to me.
Right, right.
And did you want to talk about her idea of self? which she talks about.
I was going to say, what I liked her pointing out first to Arabella about social media and her social media use. Because like on the way there, there is, as you said, there's just like that montage of all these things. And I felt like it's like watching her brain in like a video game, which is what it feels like, I think, when you're always on Twitter and making comments. Like there's just so much coming at her. And then when she makes the point that these social media platforms encourage speaking at the cost of listening. And that's exactly... Yes. What Arabella is doing. She has her persona and she's talking at people and she's being aggressive. And then it even translated over to her own friends. And like you said, that's not a dialogue. That's not a discussion. And there's no listening. Yeah. And I thought that suggesting that to her and that she then take a break from social media was very good.
Yes. You keep using the word aggressive, and I never thought of it because I don't know. I don't see it as aggressive, or maybe it's more the opposite. I don't see aggressive as problematic in any way.
I think it's attacking more. She's attacking. Yeah.
Even that, I'm not sure. It's just that it's one-sided.
Right.
So I am aggressive.
Me too.
Unapologetically aggressive, but it's never one-sided. So that is different, right? I think, than what we're seeing here.
Yes, yes.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. And she tells her to, you know, she needs a break. Of course, I'm thinking of Hamilton.
Yes.
Go to the lake for the summer. Yeah. Uh-huh. Upstate.
Exactly.
But, and then she explains to her that you have this idea of self, and she draws an A on a piece of paper, and then there's a line. It's a hard line. And this is after Arabella says, I took my clothes home from the police station, you know, from the night of the assault, and I threw them under my bed. Now, she's obviously just saying this like flippantly, oh, I threw it under my bed. But the therapist picks up on that it seems to be something bigger for her and metaphorical. And so she draws this line and she says, underneath this line, we throw dangerous things, mm-hmm. dark things. Anything that threatens or contradicts your perceived reality goes below the line.
Right. Anything that threatens yourself. It's a way of dividing, she said.
Yeah. Yeah. And that helps us avoid feelings mm-hmm. like guilt, uncertainty, and self-blame, which are crucial in this process. Yeah. If you can't process and understand the feelings, you can't process and understand yourself.
Yeah. And that really hit her. And then what are you shoving literally under the bed and then sort of just metaphorically just so far down that you don't have to deal with it, because if you don't, then you'll never heal and you'll never understand yourself. So I thought this was a
powerful,
very powerful
turning point.
Mm-hmm.
Very,
and then it does.
Point,
she actually it does. Then after it, you do see that it really affected her. She does go home and delete all the accounts, and she does finally go under the bed and start pulling things out. And
immediately, she's still in her costume.
Yeah, immediately. And I mean, she's pulling out her past from under there. I mean, when she finds that bag from an abortion with a picture of a sonogram that she had literally blocked out.
Yeah, she's like, I can't even remember when. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, because she put it under the bed, under the line.
Yeah, yes.
So
odd though that she would keep that.
But, I know.
You know. I know. That seems to be what she does. She keeps it and puts it, shoves it there. I guess metaphorically.
I know. Literally, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So this to me and that's the turning point of forgiveness, where she then, Kwame and Terry come over. She forgives Kwame. She really, I think, in that moment forgives herself when she's looking at herself, and herself in the long black wig is talking back to her and saying the same things that she said to Kwame and like, you're casting yourself as the victim. And if I find out that's not true, I'm going to be pissed at you. Mm-hmm. She says it to herself. And then Terry gets her forgiveness in the next episode.
Yes.
But that's what.
This is where I think there's more of the forgiveness from this point on. I think now, like you said, she starts by forgiving herself and then Kwame, and then now we'll get into with Terry and with her family.
Yeah, wow, that's interesting. I don't know. Okay, well, so episode 10 is the cause and the cure. Mm-hmm. And we start right off with a flashback to a very young Arabella, mm-hmm. who clearly we see personality, yeah. right? And it's funny because we see her brother there too, and her brother has a different, now I don't know about you, but me and my brother are similar in this way. Like, we had the same childhoods, right? We had the same kind of trauma, the same chaos in our surroundings, and we just reacted differently, and that yeah. part of us is our personality. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the part that has nothing to do with what was happening around us or to us or whatever. And so, kind of similar to my brother and I, like, she's the one who's like still getting excited, daddy's gonna come, right. and he's just like laying on the couch and like, can I have something to eat, and right. can I watch TV? And then her dad does show up very, very late, and she just takes the fries from him, and it's very metaphorical, like, takes the fries and just eats them, consumes them so ravenously until she throws up. I mean, yeah. it's just a metaphor for of who she, and a microcosm of who she is and how she processes things, like, all at the fullest level of extreme.
Yes, exactly.
Right. And then we're back in the present, and it's her mom's birthday. Arabella, we learn, is on hiatus. She's not writing. She's not on social media. But it's not all good, as Terry points out, because she's spending a lot of time staking out the ego death bar, yeah, exactly. and returning to the scene of the crime.
Yeah.
So
I don't know how that part, she views that as part of her healing. I don't know. It seems like, as Terry said, just like a bad idea.
Right. Constantly. I mean, it would be one thing if she was like, this is my plan for closure, but it seems she's just like hanging out there and waiting to find the guy. I don't know. But when she was going through the things under her bed, she finds the cardigan that she was wearing the night of the assault, which happens to be Simon's.
Yeah.
And so she contacts Simon. Yes.
Back
and
to
they
Simon.
Get together. Yes. He is not doing so well, apparently, for reasons completely separate than whatever she's going through. But he, I guess, isn't working at that job he was working at, isn't still with his girlfriend, Kat, long-term partner, Kat. Mm-hmm. He's living at home with his mom.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Simon has really... yeah, you don't get a lot of explanation, but you see that he has, I don't want to say taken a turn for the worse. I guess so. I mean, these are all consequences of his actions. Or are we supposed
Who knows?
Yeah.
Good question. Yeah. Right. So we don't get a lot of that. But then he tells Arabella what we already know about Terry and how she told him it was fine to leave Arabella. And Arabella kind of just puts that in her pocket and doesn't say anything, and then goes to her mom's house for dinner, and the dad is coming, but he's late, and they're all kind of sitting around. And a woman comes by, I guess, to wish her a happy birthday, and the brother's like, God, you're so oblivious.
Clueless, yeah,
you don't
exactly.
remember her, you know, and she's like, no idea, no recollection. But the dad tells a story when he finally shows up very late. He tells a story that reminds her, triggers a memory in Arabella that this is a woman that his father had some sort of affair with.
Yeah.
When she was younger.
Right. And they call her auntie, but yeah, then in that teen, when they have that flashback to them as teens, she walks into this house he's living in, and you see her wearing his shirt. So yeah, something was going on there. It was also right when she was kind of breaking into the house, you find out that like they don't live together, and Terry's like, well, are your parents married or separate? Right. Like, what's the deal? And
what's the situation?
And again, kind of like you're saying about her brothers, like, you're so clueless. I think even then, either she's clueless or she just doesn't want to believe anything bad. She acts like it's totally normal. Like, oh, no. They just live apart, but they're not separated. Yes. And yet
right.
then you go in and he's hooking up with someone else. So clearly there was more there that she just didn't want to see even then.
Right. You know? Which is funny because it's different from the mom. Obviously, the mom blocked or didn't. She willfully turned a blind eye, right?
Yes.
She was like, why should I be upset? I'm sexy and single. Mm-hmm. Why should I care?
And I care about my kids. That's all I care about.
So she is turning a blind eye to it, but she's not ignorant of it, which is what Arabella seems to prefer, that true ignorance, because somehow she wouldn't be able to turn a blind eye. So she has to just like block it out.
But that's like I'm saying, I mean, that is clearly a pattern for her. Like, again, like you said, how did you forget, you know, you had an abortion, or how did you forget? I mean, that woman walked in and she literally didn't even make the connection. I mean, and so that is her pattern. She just has a way of completely disassociating and put, again, like the therapist said, putting it under the line. I mean, but this goes back so far, we now see.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Right. Teenager, maybe that's interesting. I didn't think about that. Maybe that's when it started. I mean, that's when we learn to relate, how we relate to the opposite sex, you know, and how we see our parents in a different way.
Right. Or even as a little girl, she's not really, it's hard for a child to see their parents in a negative light. But I mean, the brother did. But she just was like, he's coming, you know, and she just took the McDonald's, and he's like,
yes,
you know, so this, she has a way that's been in her.
Yep. Yes.
For a long time.
Yes. Yeah. But that's beyond optimism. Yes. And I was like, oh, this is maybe just a little more optimistic. But no. This is like, I block it out. I can't even see it because I don't know how to process it at all.
Right.
But I guess something good that comes from it is she tells her mom about what happened when her mom comes to check on her in her room, and she tells her, and I can't imagine being that mom. No. Like that's.
And we don't see the moment though, which I kind of wanted to, but
I did too,
you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, and then the other good, I guess, that comes out of it then is her interaction with Terry, and
that's right. Well, I was thinking first she goes back out to the dinner table. The dad says, "Are you okay?" And she's like, "Yeah."
Oh, that's true.
And it does. And when she says it there, and she kind of hugs him, it doesn't quite feel the same. It's like I do feel that she's seeing him differently, right? She's like,
"Yes."
It's the "I love you anyway." Right? It's not the "I love you because I don't see anything."
Yes.
That's how she was before.
I thought good for her. Yeah, like she was seeing, and though she's probably, of course, still has some misgivings, she gives him that hug, which that's where I saw sort of the forgiveness and just being a little more open.
No, you're right.
And even though now she sees the truth, you know, that little hug and giving him his food, you know, making his plate is, you know, was a nice act of reaching out.
Yes. Yes. I see that now, too. I do. And it is a theme now. She's just she's seeing more of herself. Kwame was the first that you can, people that you love. I mean, now if you're a celebrity, right? This is a totally different side of cancel culture, whatever that, you know, if you're a celebrity, we don't have to consume you if you're a dick, right? If you make a mistake that is so tragic that we don't think, well, I'm no longer interested in your point of view. But that person's, you know, daughter, best friend, like those people have to be able to see them as a human, right? So while that girl that Kwame has sex with doesn't ever have to forgive him, doesn't have to give him any leeway, Arabella does.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
There's a real relationship there, and they are humans, and but seeing it and then forgiving them and then saying, "I love you anyway, let's work together to all do better," is the way forward, instead of just like, "Oh, it's fine, whatever."
Yeah, that is growth. That is real growth.
Yes.
And that's what she does with Terry too. That's why I do think,
yes,
you know, I mean, she knows from Simon now what it is. And when they sit down together, I don't know about you, I assumed she was gonna maybe not lay into her, because, but oh, yeah. I thought, no, I you did. Know, it was gonna
I thought
be,
she was going to lose her shit.
Yeah. And it was, and so did Terry. I mean, you saw her face. Yes. She was like, here it comes.
Yes.
And yes. It was the complete opposite. You know, she thanks her for being such a good friend. And yes. I thought of what you said in the last recap when you said she is doing a lot of good for her. So whatever her intentions were, or even right. though where she told them to from, lie, right. wherever it comes from, she the fact yeah. remains she's doing a lot of good yeah. for her. And I felt like yeah. Arabella's reaction in
cared
this moment
about that too.
Exactly, yeah. appreciated that. And she realized yes. that really was all that mattered. Maybe she did yes. fuck up. She definitely did. She shouldn't have told Simon right. to right. leave her. And but what regardless.
But it's not only just telling Simon to leave her, it's that her attitude is always like, Arabella's a fucking yes. mess. Just like right. she deserves whatever happens to her. Right. I feel like that was more of her
yes.
like what was behind it.
Whereas so, now she sees that her actions have been all to help Arabella.
Yes.
And
yes.
and then they do their motto, your birth is my birth, yes. your death is my death. And they toast their yes. wine glasses. And I thought that yes. was again, yeah. forgiveness, and even
absolutely,
even Kwame and his hookup.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, that's a whole. Yeah,
that's another piece that you know mm-hmm. he'd been having his own sort of personal saga there of traveling
yes.
to all these different hookups and one yep. after the other, and he. These just goes on all these sort of typical grinder dates and next guy, and then he gets this one guy. Who makes him dinner and yeah. wants him to sit down and eat dinner and
ask how his mojito is. Yeah.
Yes. And is it sweet sugar? Enough, you know?
Yeah.
And he's all flustered and is like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. Like, you weirdo. Yeah. Right. But yes.
You can see how uncomfortable he is with someone paying attention to him,
right?
Caring mm-hmm. for him.
And yeah. he's like, tells him that you can get something from someone that's not of a sexual nature, meaning we can yeah. talk, we could eat, and then Kwame asks him for a hug, like yes. and there's this beautiful hug, like where he yeah. puts his hand on him, and then he puts just such an emotional connection instead of the physical one he gets from everybody else, that
yeah
I almost thought that was another forgiveness, like, or something, so that Kwame could just, I don't know, forgive himself for what's been happening. I don't know, I thought that was a really, really powerful scene though.
Yeah, I did too. And it relates back to Terry's birthday party, when we know that Kwame's very first sexual experience was kind of a, like, fucking leave, right? Like, it was two guys in a car, and it was not. So Kwame, as far as, and we also know he's got a strange relationship with his dad, but maybe the relationship is good, but the sexuality is not part of it. We don't know. But we can say for sure that Kwame, when it comes to sexual encounters, has had zero tenderness.
Right.
Right. And so this guy is showing him that there are other pieces to intimacy that are right. beyond sex. And it was a real breaking down of walls for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really good scene.
Yeah. And it's also because we got to see every bit of it, right? We got to see how tense yes. Kwame was at first, and how the guy also didn't know. I mean, it's like he knows he wants to give him a hug, but he doesn't know how, you know, like, where yeah. does your head go? And, mm-hmm. you know, they haven't figured all that stuff out yet. And so, but he stays with it. He's like, I'm not going to back off just because we bump heads or your chin is here. Or, you know, it's just like he's going to keep going.
Right.
And yeah. Yeah. It was a lot.
It was.
But good.
It was. Yeah. So we'll see where they go. What are we? Two more. And
two more. Yes.
I have no idea.
I have no idea. No idea where it's going.
It's exciting.
But
though.
That's exciting.
I know. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes. I just hope it's, I mean, an hour is enough time to feel. I just wonder what it will take to feel satisfied.
I know.
You know, I don't care about vindication for the original assaulter.
Mm-mm.
No. Okay. Me neither. Okay.
No. It's more about her and her journey. And
yeah.
And I, like I said, in this one, do see growth. You see forgiveness, and she can.
But I was thinking for luckiest girl alive. That's how it does end, with vindication on the assaulter. So
meaning, would we find out his identity and then get some vindication?
I don't know. It seems a little far-fetched to do that in the next hour, but
that's what I was thinking. I know. With
I just wonder if you and I don't expect it, but I wonder if other people
viewers do.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And so they might feel like they have to.
But I don't think she's done anything here because she thinks she has to. Meaning nothing about this show feels that way to me, but that it would tie it up neatly and be like, oh, that's who it was. But I don't know. Hey, I think my point is, I think everything has been so unexpected, which is what's made it so amazing, that I expect more unexpected.
Yeah.
So if I got that, I think I'd be, maybe that's the unexpected, right?
Right, like, right. She's kind of reversed us into it.
Maybe.
I don't know. All right. Well, we'll be watching, and one more recap left.
Okay.
This has been Pop Fiction Women with Corinne and Kate.
If you enjoyed this show, please tell the complicated women in your life.
And the men who love them.
Yes, tell them to listen. And then to follow on Spotify or review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And of course, share on social media.
Tag us with your favorite books, TV shows, and movies starring complicated women on Facebook and Instagram at Pop Fiction Women, or on Twitter at pop_women.
For more coverage of the women you love, or to find out if you qualify as a complicated woman, go to popfictionwomen.com.
And keep it complicated.